fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Today we're going to consider together verses 1 through 7. Now when you find your place, we will read, but let me call your attention to the fact that the 10th chapter of Proverbs begins the second division of this book. This division records for us the collected Proverbs of Solomon. And it begins with chapter 10 and verse 1 and extends down through chapter 22. And verse 16. This is the central and main section of the book, of which the first 9 chapters, in a sense, constitute a preface. This section of Proverbs is marked not only by the new heading, the Proverbs of Solomon, but by a difference in contents and structure. Chapters 1 to 9 provided discourses by wisdom on fundamentals of life and well-being. Now follows a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, that is, their pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. These are not presented in a systematic order, and no logical sequence is generally followed. Like the varied phases of human life, for which they offer guidance, the Proverbs are of a miscellaneous character. Although the general religious principles advocated in the dissertations of chapters 1 to 9 underlie the Proverbs of this section, the aphorisms usually sound a secular note. Right action is recommended because it pays. Wrongdoing is deprecated because of their disagreeable consequences. Yet, at the same time, a very high moral standard is presented. One must remember that the book of Proverbs was directed not so much to the wise, who could appreciate the loftier motives of virtuous conduct, but to the simple, who needed the lessons that honesty is the best policy. Now let's look at these first 7 verses of Proverbs chapter 10. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, let me remind you again that we are in a section called the Proverbs of Solomon, and they're for the most part unconnected sentences, remarkable for profound thought and acute observation. They are expressed in antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals, of universal application, a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified details, both personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now, the first proverb is found in verse 1, and it's a proverb of domestic relations. It really sounds the keynote for this entire section, and for the entire book, for that matter, because it says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." This great statement probably has its roots back in chapter 1 and verse 8 and verse 9, which says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." This is not the only passage in the first 9 chapters in which the writer of Proverbs gives instruction to his son concerning the laws and the advice and counsel given from him and from his mother. You'll find other references to these things in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and verses 20 to 22, chapter 5, and verses 1 to 2, and again in chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Now, the wise son, then, is the son who will hearken under the command of his father, the instruction of his father, and the one who will not forsake the law of his mother. But the foolish son is the one who disregards parental instruction and discipline and counsel, and therefore brings heaviness or grief to the heart of his mother. Oh, how young people ought to recoil from anything that would bring grief to the heart of the woman who went through the valley in order to bring that young person into life. So there is a proverb of domestic relations. A son who is wise brings joy to his parents, but a son who follows the pathway of folly brings heaviness and grief to the heart of his mother. Then in verses 2 and 3, there's a proverb of economic ethics. We read, "Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." These are antithetical proverbs. It speaks of treasures of wickedness, that is, riches gotten by ill gain, by wicked means, by false balance, or by false representation, or by actually stealing. And what it says here is that it'll profit nothing. And there's also, the proverb deals with the deliverance of righteousness. But righteousness delivereth from death, and although the Lord casteth away the substance of the wicked, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Oh, listen, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul when he stands before God and hears the judgment of condemnation, and yet he has profited by wicked means? What of these gains would he give in exchange for the deliverance of his soul from the pits of hell? It'll be entirely too late. And yet the psalmist says, "I've been young and now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And so it is. The Lord delivers the righteous from death, and the Lord will not allow the righteous to famish. So we have a proverb, then, of economic ethics. In verses 4 and 5, there's a proverb of industry and idleness. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." Now, here again we have an antithetical proverb. The slack hand belongs to the sleeper in harvest, and the diligent hand to the one who gathers in summer, or the wise son. The slack hand speaks of indolence or slothfulness, and it's a serious fault to be indolent. And it, in this passage of Scripture, is the cause of poverty. But then there's the diligent hand. And this hand recognizes the dignity of work and its essential place in the scheme of life. Listen, friends, faith and laziness do not mingle, but faith and diligence are fit companions. And so the person who has a diligent hand is a wise son, that is, a son that acteth prudently. What does he do? He gathereth in summer and stores up for the winter months when there is to be no gathering. And, of course, he makes hay while the sun shines. And of course, the blessed truth of this carries over into the moral and spiritual ways of life. We're instructed in the Word of God to walk in wisdom and to redeem the time, that is, buy up the opportunity because the days are evil. We're to take advantage of the time when we may gather in the harvest, not only of literal physical foodstuffs, but the harvest of souls. If we're Christians, we ought to be busy in this day of salvation, of gathering souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, the days are evil, and the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. And we're to put off the evil works of darkness, and we are to engage in service that will bring gladness to the heart of our God. And so there's a proverb of industry and idleness. And finally, in this passage, there's a proverb of moral justice, verses 6 and 7. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now notice, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Or the mouth of the wicked concealeth violence, as it may be rendered. And if this rendering is correct, then the meaning is that the wicked plot their neighbor's ruin and consequently earn their curses and not blessings. Blessings are for the righteous, but cursings come upon the wicked. Or if, like in our version, the King James Version, this passage indicates that like produces like. The life of the righteous is full of blessing to others, and then blessings crown the life of the righteous. But the life of the wicked is full of violence, and their malicious speech, which plots violence against others, will eventually be stopped by an act of violence practiced upon them. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And then furthermore, the memory of the just is blessed. So a just person, a righteous person who walks through this world, leaves a blessed memory. But the name of the wicked shall rot. So the wicked leave a rottening name, one that ends quickly in complete forgetfulness. And so, my dear friends, it pays to be righteous. And the only way a person can be truly righteous is to turn from his sin and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus and then live out that kind of life in the power of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. The Bible Institute of the Air is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.